Today's scripture comes from Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of God for the people of God.
It's on. How are we doing this morning? Good. Okay, well, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Josie, and me and my family have been coming to this church since I was very little. I was baptized here, and everyone here has just been such a big part of our family for so long. We love you all so much, and just the fact that I get to be here this morning is such a blessing and a privilege. Yeah, and also just to for those of you who don't know me very well, I am a nurse, as Connie said earlier. So I went to TCU for college, go Frogs, so I graduated in December of last year, and since then I've moved back up here, and I have a job. I haven't quite started yet, so I'm just waiting for that. But praise God, very excited. And so in the meantime, since I've graduated, I've had a lot of time to rest and travel and do lots of really fun things, spend time with family, and it's been super rejuvenating. And one of the things that I really like to do as a way to decompress and refocus my mind to God is spend time in the morning in prayer and do a devotional or something that really just brings my eyes to him. And so one morning, this was like a couple weeks ago, I was praying and I really felt the Lord kind of opening my eyes to all the things he's taught me over the last few years. And the main thing that I kind of took away from that morning was that pain never happens without a purpose. And I think that was something that really stuck out in my mind. And so funnily enough, later that same day, Brooke reached out to me and he was like, hey, so I'm going to be out of town. Do you want to give the message this day? And I was like, I was not sure. That sounded pretty daunting. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then he responded with, just use it as a time to just share and be honest about what the Lord's been teaching you. And I was like, okay, that sounds a little less scary. I can do that. And so I definitely had a moment of like, okay, the Lord's put on my heart this this idea of God never lets us go through something without having a purpose for it. And I was like, kind of questioning, okay, God, like, am I really the person you want to be talking about pain and suffering? I'm like, I feel like I'm only 21 years old. I've been very blessed. I have a wonderful family. I felt very supported and encouraged my whole life. And I was like, obviously, you know, gone through plenty of hard things, but I have a lot to be grateful for too. And so I was like thinking in my head, you know, I've never suffered a chronic illness. I've never, you know, lost a child. Like things where I'm like, yeah, that person has gone through hard things. But something that the Lord kept bringing to mind was the scripture where it says, for in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's a promise, God says, that we will have suffering, especially those who follow and trust in him, because we are the light in the world. And when we are the light in the world, we are inevitably going to have people who are going to try and stifle that light. And so I think that that's what kind of encouraged me to keep going with it and to actually pursue this message. So the theme that I chose for this message was being refined, embracing God's teaching in difficulties. And the reason why I chose refined is because it's both, it insinuates change, but it's also a good thing. And so just to kind of outline what I'll be doing, I'll kind of start with talking a little bit more about my life, and then I'm going to dive into scripture and just really share what the Lord has to say about it. And then I'm going to end with application, so how we can really carry this out in our lives. And then we'll end with prayer. So does that sound good? Okay, great. Sonia just read the scripture we'll be going through today. I'm just going to start with a little bit of, you know, the past few years, what my life has looked like. Just a disclaimer, for every struggle or thing that I share, there are a thousand blessings I wish I could share with all of you. So if I could just like sit down and get coffee with everyone and just share everything, I would do that, but I can't. So I am going to share some things that I've walked through, and something the Lord has been teaching me is that we often learn a lot more through our trials than our triumphs and things that we do really well. And so often those lessons learned are seen in the really hard things. So for those of you who don't know, I graduated in COVID year. So I was a high school graduate in the spring of 2020. So I was a drive-through graduate. And that was very interesting. And all of us, I'm sure, can all agree that 2020 was a very hard year. And 2021, you know, now still, I feel like COVID is still a difficult thing in our lives. But I graduated high school and I started college in a new state where I knew no one in the fall of 2020. And so that was a whole experience of itself. And it was hard. It was hard to make friends. It was hard to find community. Thankfully, I did over time, and I have some really wonderful friends now from it. But it was very isolating. We had all online classes, and so I spent a whole lot of time in my dorm room, and I didn't have to leave except for going to get, you know, a meal from the dining hall, you know, and so it was just very hard, especially moving from home, which is already a very difficult transition. And so take that, add COVID on top of it. That was a little rough. And so it was very difficult to make friends in this new environment. And also, too, like I said earlier, I did nursing school. And so nursing is not for the faint of heart, and so I went through a lot of difficult classes, and I did an accelerated program, too, which was my doing, but where you go through the summer, and it's like a condensed version of nursing school where you have, like, an exam every week, and it's very stressful, and it's a lot all at once, and Now I look back, it's very rewarding. But in the moment, it was pretty hard. There were definitely some classes in particular where I was very stressed about passing it, like labs in particular. There was one lab where I had very tearful phone calls with my family, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, like, get through this, and I just need to, like, pass this class, or I'm going to be set back a year. And it's like, in reality, it's not that big of a deal. But in the moment, it felt very hard. So, lots of difficult classes. And all in all, I would say the common thread through it all was a whole lot of fear, a whole lot of anxiety, a whole lot of worrying about the future and what it would hold, worrying kind of just about anything and everything, because it was all, to start college was also new and also scary, and then, and having new relationships and having, new friendships and all sorts of stuff that caused a whole lot of turmoil, and thankfully I have such a wonderful support system that really helped me through that and has been so loving to me, This is something I'm sharing now that I continue to wrestle with today. It's not like I've made it on the other side and I am awesome, you know. I don't want that to be the thing you hear today. No, I still wrestle with it. I still wrestle with a whole lot of fear some days, and I still wrestle with trusting God in the midst of hard things. And so that's kind of how this ties into the scripture of today. Just to give some background, Romans it's a letter. It's written by Paul the Apostle, and he was writing to the Christians in Rome at the time. I think it was like his third mission, it was intended to basically provide direction, encouragement, guidance to the community of believers there. So just to kind of have that idea before we kind of dive deeper into it. So we're going to be focusing mainly on verses 3-5, so I'm just going to reread those really quick, just so they're fresh on your mind. So Romans 5, okay. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, pretty powerful. Thank you. Pretty powerful verses. It's funny, my dad and I actually, we've bonded over these verses over the years. We both love them so much. They've meant a lot to us. So it's kind of cool that we get to talk about them today. So let's just start kind of verse by verse, or statement by statement, and unpack it. So the first part, it says, not only so, but we can also glory in our sufferings. And the word glory, we don't really use very much as a verb nowadays. We say glorify, we say worship, we say praise, but we don't really say glory. And that, in this context, means like to triumph, to praise, to be glad. Sometimes if I'm having trouble with scripture, I look to a different translation as a way to kind of look at it from a different angle. And New Living Translation is really helpful for me, kind of breaks it down, and it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. I don't know about you, but I don't rejoice when I run into something hard. I don't know a single person who jumps for joy when they go through something difficult. So we don't really often share this perspective. When I read this, and I've reread it and reread it, I'm always thinking, okay, Paul is he a really good example for this? Because I'm having a hard time believing that he actually went through suffering if this is his perspective, right? And so the question I was like asking myself is, okay, is Paul a good example for us? And then I went into kind of research more of Paul's life and kind of what his life looked like, and I was proved very wrong. So Paul was kidnapped, just to name a few. Kidnapped, he was beaten, he was threatened, he was arrested many times, he was accused, interrogated, ridiculed, and shipwrecked, just to name a few. Like, this guy had a lot of suffering in his life, and so he's actually a really great example for us this morning of how to respond to that. And then for the next verse, it says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And so when I went and looked at a different translation of this, it says, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And when I first read this, when I think of endurance, I think of running a race. I think of being an athlete. I think of stamina, right? And so I feel like this is a lot like becoming a stronger athlete. Like, in order for us to become stronger, in order for our muscles to grow, we need to do really painful, hard things. And so that's kind of what comes to my mind and helps me understand how we change in a good way when we go through difficult things. And then the next part says perseverance, character. So this is the next step in this message. And the other translation says, in endurance, develop strength of character. And so something that I tend to do a lot when I pray is I will be like, all right, God, like, give me patience, or give me kindness, give me a loving heart, give me, you know, fill in the blank. And sometimes, I mean, God might work that way for you in your life. For me, I feel like he often doesn't just give me things, he gives me opportunities for those things to grow. And so if I'm asking God for patience, he gives me opportunities to be patient. If he gives me strength, he gives me opportunities to be strong. If I ask for kindness, he gives me opportunities to be kind. And it grows that muscle, and it grows that strength as a follower. And so I think that those hard things, those difficult things, can provide an opportunity for the fruit of the Spirit just to grow in our hearts. And also, too, sometimes it just causes us to lean into him more. It just causes us to lean into God, recognize our limitedness, recognize our dependence on God, and how it is so important for us to lean on him. And we become better followers of Jesus. We know more about who he is. We know more about who we are, and how small we are in comparison to how big God is. So we learn a lot more about God through hard things as well. And then the next part of the scripture is, and character, hope. So character translates to hope. And the other translation says, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And so what I took away from that is God uses the hard things we go through, the suffering, the straining, the difficulty, to mold our hearts. And he uses it to mold our hearts, which in turn affects how we live. It affects how, what we put our hope in. It affects our relationship with God and others. It affects every facet of our life. And so God never lets that pain or struggle go without some form of purpose in the end, right? And it's going to affect us in positive ways in the end. And this idea made me think of Ephesians 2:22. And for those of you who don't know it, it says, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so I like to think of that like, I mean, we are called God's temple. He is building us up, building us together to become a dwelling place for God. And so in doing that, sometimes in construction, it's messy. It doesn't look quite glamorous. But that's also because God has a blueprint, right, if you will. He has a plan in the end of what that will look like. And it is a good plan. It is purposeful, and it is wonderful. And so the last part of the scripture that really kind of takes it home is, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And the other translation that I looked at said, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And I feel like one of the most asked questions that we tend to say is, how could a loving God do this? You know, like we ask, like, how could a loving God let this happen? You know, and we wrestle with that, and we tend to picture God as this angry God who is either mad at us, or, you know, he's, you know, carrying out some kind of karma or what, I don't know. But like, we tend to picture him as having this vendetta or, and that is just not who our God is. He is not an angry God that causes bad things to happen, or as a way to punish us. That is not true of him. He is a loving God who uses them. And so I'm just going to say it one more time because I feel like that really is powerful. He's not an angry God that causes bad things to happen to us or as a way to punish us, but he is a loving God who uses them. And so I think what we can kind of gather from this is that he's really trustworthy. And I feel as though, you know, it's hard to blindly trust something that you, there's no evidence for it, right? And so I think the biggest point of evidence for us and why God's trustworthy is in the gospel, because he is perfectly kind and perfectly loving and perfectly gracious, and the evidence that we can look to show us, okay, yes, he's trustworthy, yes, he's good, is the fact that Christ died for us. And it's not just that he died for us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't earn it, we didn't do anything to prove it, we didn't do anything to clean ourselves up, make ourselves good enough for him. He just loved us and chased after us and fought for us, and it is just the greatest gift of all. And that just shows how perfectly loving he is. And one of the analogies that I've read before that really helps me understand when I'm like thinking, oh, is God angry at me? Is God, you know, and I'm wrestling with that, is the idea of this cup that is, let's say, filled with the righteous punishment of our sins or the righteous judgment or righteous, whatever you want to call it. And when Jesus came and died for our sins, he drank that whole thing, and he just drank it all. He took it upon himself, and there's absolutely no drop left for us. There's no hate, there's no punishment, there's no disappointment, there's no judgment, there's nothing like that is left in that cup, and it is completely empty, so all he has left for us is love, and there is no, there's nothing left, right? And so I think that is just such a beautiful picture that it's just not in God's nature, right? He is a perfectly loving God, and we could not do anything to change that. And I don't know about you, but I would, if there's one person I would trust with my life and the outcome of what would happen to me or happen to those around me, it is God, a perfectly loving God who has everything in control and loves me and every one of his children unconditionally. And so we know through this that God is always on our side, that he is always looking out for us, and he's always using everything for our good and his glory. And this reminds me of Romans 8:28, and this verse I refer to all the time because it really gives me a lot of strength, and really just a lot of hope. And it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And that I just feel like really encapsulates the idea that God doesn't cause those hard things, but he uses them because he's so loving. And just to kind of wrap up with application, how do we actually like apply this to our lives? How do we live this out? The first thing I want to kind of make sure hits home is to be compassionate with yourself, and be compassionate with others. Because what I'm not saying is slap on a smile and be happy when you're going through hard things. That's not at all the case, and that's not what God wants either. If you really want to see a picture of what it looks like to come to God with all of your emotions and all of your fears and all of your life stuff, go to the Psalms, because the Psalms are filled with authentic people. And it's filled with people who one day praise God, glorify him, worship him, love him with their whole heart and soul. And then the next psalm, it's, God, why have you forsaken me? God, like, I'm having so much trouble right now. And it is just so perfect in terms of it shows us a genuine picture of what it looks like to follow God. You know, God doesn't want us to pretend. He doesn't want us to, you know, just kind of be happy and just kind of go on our merry way. He wants us to bring all of those things to him. And through the Psalms, which are, you know, because they're in the Bible, they're ordained by God, they're his word, it's like he gives us permission to express those things. It's not, those can be holy things too, right? And so I think that really is powerful, and something that gives me a lot of peace is that I know I can go to him with everything, and I can go to my friends in Christ too with everything, and they, and for me personally, I know that I value friends who are authentic. I value friends who are so true and honest about what they're going through. It makes me not feel so alone. It makes me feel so seen by them. And so I value that in a friend. And so I want to be that friend for others as well. And then the second one is kind of similar to what I just said, but lean on others. Be honest with them. Because we are not meant to go through things alone in this life. We are not. That's why we're a body of Christ. That's why we have the church. That's why we have this community, because we're not meant to. Sorry, I need some water. We are not meant to go through hard things alone. Excuse me. And so we are meant to lean on each other and just to be seen by others. And I know for my life, I've been blessed with a really wonderful family and really wonderful friends that I know I could go to with anything and feel just seen and loved. And I think that some people don't necessarily have that. They don't have friends or family that they feel like they can talk to about stuff in their lives. And I think that if that is you, then the church is such a great place to start, because you have a whole lot of people who want to love you like Jesus. And you have a pastor and you have people in your life who, if they are loving like God, they are going to listen. They are going to love on you. They're going to hear you and encourage you and support you. And so I think that church is a great place to start. And I just think it's so freeing and so awesome when you bring someone into a dark place or bring someone into a spot where you're struggling, because it just takes that power away, because now you know you're not alone in it. You know that it has no power over you. You know that it has no bearing on your joy, because you have someone walking with you. And I think that brings me a lot of joy. It brings me a lot of comfort. And it makes it just that much more easy to walk through things that are difficult. And then the third thing that I feel like I think is obviously super important is just to abide in the Lord, to dwell with him, to talk with him about what you're going through. He is God, so he is all-knowing, and he is, so he knows what you're feeling before you even say it. He knows what you're going through, even though, you know, you haven't voiced it yet, but he still wants to hear from you. He still wants to talk with you. He still wants to have a conversation and show you love and show you care. And so one thing that sometimes helps me is when I'm in prayer, when I'm talking to God, it shifts my gaze. Because as humans, as, you know, just how we are, we tend to see only like 3 feet in front of us. We see what we're going through and nothing else. We see something that is bothering us, or we see our little life in the here and the now, but God sees the bigger picture. He sees eternity. He sees our whole life, you know, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And he is in control of it all. And that doesn't take away the sting of hard things. This doesn't take away the difficulty of it, This isn't like a Band-Aid you patch on and it's everything's better, but it's also, but it gives you a whole lot of peace in knowing that you have a loving God who's got you, right? Who's who knows exactly what he's doing. And so sometimes it just helps to pray, to shift our gaze to God, and for us to know that, okay, God has a greater plan and a greater purpose for my life, and that doesn't even stay within the bounds of my life. It goes beyond that, right? It goes beyond the generations after me, and he's got this greater purpose that I know that I want to trust in. And even that, we don't do perfectly, so give yourself grace for that too. But anyway, so that kind of is what I have learned a lot from the last few years, I think, that the Lord has really just revealed to me, and really has just strengthened that muscle in my life, and I would hope that you guys would walk with that and just take heart and take encouragement. So I'm really happy that I got to share with you guys today. And I'm just going to wrap up with some prayer, and then we'll transition. So, yeah. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this Sunday. Thank you for these dear friends and family that we have next to us, Lord. We thank you for the sunshine and the wonderful weather and the 4th of July and all the wonderful things that have happened this week. And we also just praise you for your nearness and your love for us, and that they are perfect and unconditional, and that you love us so deeply and so well, and that you are firmly in control of all things. And even though hard things still exist in the world and sin is still in the world and it's still a very broken world, you are a loving God who uses those things for our good and for your glory, Lord. Lord, thank you for just all the people in this room. I pray that they would be a safe haven for other people who are walking through difficult things and need a shoulder to cry on or need someone to talk to. Lord, I pray that this would be a place where they just feel loved and accepted. And God, I just pray that you would help us to come to you, Lord, when we are weary or weak, and we would take heart and know that you are our strength and that it's made perfect in us. Lord, I just praise you for this day. I praise you for, God, that we can come to you in any and all states, Lord, and that you welcome it and you love it and you just love being with us, and you don't care if it's a prayer that is frustrated, if it's sad, if it's happy, if it's glorifying, if it's confused, you welcome it all, Lord, and that you just love being with us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this day, and pray this all in your mighty name. Amen.